We're going to go into some very serious persecution by religious people. Jesus told his church, his disciples, he told them, he said, there's going to be a time when people will run you out of synagogues, they're going to kill you, they're going to roast you alive, they're going to behead you, they're going to torture you, and they're going to think that they're doing God a favor. Well, here is a time when that happens. This is Samuel Morland's The History of the Evangelical Churches of the Valleys of the Piedmont by Samuel Morland, printed in 1658. Now, I might say this, that Baptists, true Christians never persecuted anybody. True Christians never persecuted anybody. Catholicism and Islam fought across the Mediterranean, killing each other for over 1,000 years. But Christians never took part in any of it. A lot of people try to say that the Crusades and everything were wonderful things, that we'd be speaking Islam today. I'm going to tell you something. There would be no Islam today if it wasn't for Catholicism. Muhammad got all of his ideas from Catholicism, the conquering by the sword. Now we're going to go back into 1655 here. And I'm going to read to you some of these things about, and this is chapter 6 in the Valleys of the Piedmont. We whose names are subscribed, captains of the regiments of the infantry, and souls of Aberdeen, do attest that we have seen the present declaration made by the Sieur de Petit Bou, captain of the regiment of the infantry of Grancy, in the city of Penquiel. It's written in this old English, it's hard to read. By him written and signed with his own hand in our presence, in witness thereof we have signed this, those present, attestation at Penquiel, this 25th of November, 1555. We whose names are underwritten do certify that being in Penquiel upon the 23rd of April in the year 1655, it being the feast day and the fair of St. George, heard a certain young man at Canaan who was lately come into the valley of Lucerna from the war that had been in those parts, where he had received a wound in his hand, boasting that he, together with six of his other comrades, had frequently boiled the heads. They're bragging about this. They killed these Christians. This is a Catholic man. This is the captain. These people, now, when you go back over here to indulgences. You see indulgences over here? That's in the 600s. And indulgences, they, if you go into the Catholic Church's army, you were forgiven of all the sins which you committed during that time, rape, pillage, murder, cannibalism, whatever it was. You were forgiven of all these things. And you become a hero, because now you have, for the rest of your life, no matter what sins you commit, it's okay. You're going to go to heaven. You're going to go to paradise. Well, that is a false rope to hell. A false rope to hell. We as people in the world, I don't know whether you've ever seen it or not, but have you ever seen out in the old days the blind people? They would tie a rope from one part of the house to the other, and then would go out in the country, and they'd feel all this rope as they went to the barn, to the outhouse, or whatever it was. They would follow this rope. These blind Catholics here were following a rope to hell by the doctrines and the things that we're committing. Received a wound in his hand, boasting ahead together with six of his other comrades, had frequently boiled the heads and eaten the brains of several of these barbarians, which by the same token had made him sick at heart. This he likewise related to an ironmonger, that the blacksmith, who was present, also a Frenchman, notwithstanding was unknown to us, all which we assure in words of truth, having heard the same with our ears in witness thereof, that we have heretofore in our marks, the 7th of October, 1655. The marks were their signatures. Now, I'm going to show you some of this. This is on page 339. Now, it's probably, you might be able to get this book today, but if you're not a Baptist, you probably don't want it. There you can see people being tortured. These are what we might call sketches of eyewitnesses of what was taking place here. Now, it names the people that were being killed. These people really lived that time. Just like we lived, I've lived from the mid-1940s to the 2024, wherever I don't make it any further. These people lived in that period of time. They lived there in 1655. It tells their names, it tells their ages, then where they lived, and sometimes their families. Sarah D. Des, about 60 years of age, being overtaken in a certain place called, but this is very hard to read, Ikralos, by divers soldiers, was by them commanded to say her prayers, which, the having done, they urged her to repent and call upon Jesus and Maria. But the poor woman refused to do that. See, they told her to say her Hail Marys and asked Mary to save her. One of the soldiers thrust a sickle into the lower part of her belly and ripped her up to her navel, and afterwards dragged the poor, miserable creature upon the ground, being half dead, till another of them severed her head from her body. The daughter-in-law to this poor woman was constrained to hide herself in the snow for a space of 2 days later. They were in the, this is wintertime when this is all taking place now. They ripped their clothes off and began to dismember them. This woman was 60 years old, and she stayed there without any food or nourishment and was an eyewitness of this horrible butchery. Martha, Constantine of Saint Giovanni. Giovanni, by the way, means John. A certain woman of Saint Giovanni, whose name, as is credibly believed, was Martha Constantine, the wife of Jacob Bazel, after he had been several others before her most cruelly put to death, she saw her husband and others put to death. Now, one time in history, Catholicism and Islam are twin sisters. They're twin sisters. Muhammad went into a city. He built his first mosque there, and then he began to persecute Jewish people there. The Jewish people allowed him to come in, and once he got control there, then he began to kill all the Jews and steal all everything that they had. Well, he went into this one city in Medina, the area there, and he dug a long trench. And he finally conquered this city and the walled city, and then he took all the men out, and they began to strip their clothes off because they're going to steal their clothes. And they'd take them out there, and they would put their head, hang their heads over a ditch and chop their heads off, and this happened to 800 people. And they'd rip the boys' clothes off. If a girl was there, they were going to rape her. But if a boy, if he had any hair in his pubic area, he was beheaded, no matter how young he was. If he had hair around his pubic area, and they stripped him off naked. They took their clothes. One old Jewish man took a knife that was hidden, and he ripped his clothes all to pieces. And when they ripped his clothes off, he kind of smiled. He said, they're not worth for anything. They're destroyed. They stole the clothes off their backs before they killed them. Now, we have the same thing here. Before her most cruelly put to death was herself first ravished. She was raped by as many people that wanted her. One man after another. She was raped and ravished. Then had her breast cut off. And likewise, part of her privates for some of the soldiers who also carried the same in Marseille at Piedmont, where they fried them and set them before others of their comrades. They fried the women's breasts all the time. They did that here in America. They did that to the Indians here also. They took their breasts and they cut them off. And when they went in among the Indian tribes, the one was a Methodist preacher. And he went in there, and the men, they wore those old saddles that were narrow forks in the front. They cut the women's breasts off, they tanned the hides, and they put stuffing in them and tied them on there. And that's what we call bucking rolls today, but they were called squaw tits back then. Squaw tits. They did the same here. Now, this is a few hundred years before they did it in America. And they did that. Chivington was his name. John Chivington. And then it says, before some of the other comrades whom they were accidentally making them believe that they were tripes, but having eaten a good part of them, they told them plainly that they were women's breasts. And this was taken to extremely ill, and those who had thus been beguiled thought that immediately a quarrel arose thereupon, and indeed not without sufficient reason, for all of those who had eaten thereof found it to be of ill digestion, and it lay heavy on their stomachs, and they straightway fell grievously sick upon it, and some of them died soon after. Probably they were spoiled too. No matter how, no telling how long they had carried from one area to the other these women's breasts, and even parts of their privates. They would take a woman's privates and stretch them over their saddle horns. This is horrible. Is this humanity? These are religious people. These are religious people now. This certified by one of Dauphine, a Roman Catholic, whom, if it were easier to name, if need be required, he related the same to one André Favel of Pinchia. I'm going to show you this picture. This is hard stuff, but it happened. These people died. I mean, Jesus died for us, for our sins. But these people died that you would have religious freedom today. It wasn't free. It wasn't free in America either. We were persecuted when we came to America also. Every state church in America, or every state had a church in America, every colony had a church state. You wouldn't have any freedom of religion at all. You wouldn't have the freedom of speech at all if it wasn't for Baptist. Jacopa, Michelina, Bibawaya, and his servant, a certain man, this is kind of blurry, Trifenia, servant of Jacob, Michelini of Robia, being taken prisoner on the 8th day of May. This happened, people. Received divers stabs with a dagger at the sole of his feet. They'd take a man and they'd throw him down and take his boots and socks off and start stabbing in the feet. Your feet are very, very tender. And all the time asked him, you want to pray in Mary's name? They received divers stabs of the dagger in the sole of his feet and in his ears by the hands of one Dilani Roque, a famous malfacer of Lucerna, another called Mandolin, who afterwards cut off his private's members, then applied a burning candle to the wound, frying it with a flame thereof, that the blood might be stopped, that he might live in that pain. You know, they wanted him to live. That's kind of like being on a cross and being crucified. They want him to stay alive for as long as they could. And all the torments of the miserable creature prolonged, thus being done to their minds. They tortured their minds as much as they could to scream. They tore off his nails with pinchers, with pliers, hot pliers, to try to see if they could by any means force him to renounce his religion. It's better, they said, to kill him and to torture him to death, even if he wasn't going to live, and get him to renounce his religion than to let him live. But when nothing would be do, they tied one of his legs to a Marquis de Cerna's mule, then dragged him about the streets till such time that he had almost ended his painful life, and then binding his head about with a cord, they took a cord and they put a rope all around his head, and they took a piece of wood, a handle, and began to tighten it up and to squeeze his head. And they twisted the same with a staff too hard that made his eyes and brains pop out of his head. In the end, when they had sufficiently saturated their appetites with all the variety of cruelties that they could well devise, they cut off his head and put his carcass in the river, that both one and the other element might be the better enabled one day to bear witness against the barbarous, inhuman atrocities that by these were the Inquisition people. Again, on page 342. Look at these little graphs up here. A cliff or a precipice there. These drawings were made by eyewitnesses. Pierre Simon Angorona, about 80 years of age. How much 80?
Well,
about 80 years old. No. Yeah. Was tied by the neck and heels. He was tied by the neck and heels and violently hurled down a vast funeral precipice burr. As he was falling down, he, by the way, met a cragged branch of a tree, and there hung fast, most languishing condition for several days altogether, a most lamentable spectacle to behold. Not being able to help himself in the least, nor indeed capable of help of any other, by reason of it was a precipice altogether inaccessibility. I leave the reader to make out the rest of his tragedy, confessing myself not be able to express it. Here we go again. Essia Garcinia of Angorona, an old man of 90 years of age, had first his body cut and hacked in small pieces. Now, Marilyn, your family came through this, didn't they? Your DNA goes right back to the valleys of Piedmont. It goes all the way back into France and to the when they persecuted the, what was a group of the people that came over here to America?
Huguenots.
Marilyn's family were all part of this. She's an ancestor or a descendant of these people right here. of 90 years of age, had first his body cut and hacked in small pieces, and then his head chopped off. The like also in manner done to Daniel, Armans, and wife of Latore, the giblets and hammocks of whose torn carcass were strawed along the highway and hung upon hedges. They took body parts and hung them on the palms, on the fences. Upon the 12th or the 22nd of April 1655, a certain place called Lucerne, one Captain Pale de Passier took two poor women of Latour and ripped up their bellies and left them groveling upon the snow in a lamentable condition. And this was seen by Monsieur Grasse, Minister of Lavire. Four women, four poor women of Valero, and the other three of Latore, with divers small children, and they had babies, in the same. We'll let you see this also. This really happened, people. This isn't a fairy tale. This isn't some horror movie. This is a real story. You can only see it on video. If you're listening to it on audio, you have to go to video to see this. Ripped up their bellies and left them groveling upon the snow in a lamentable condition. And it was related by Monsieur Mr. Groff's Minister of Valery. Four poor women of Valero and three of Latour with their small children. The same place, soldiers of Bagnell, probably uncut off first the nose. They were doing this in America, people, to Baptists. Baptists in America had their ears cut off and their nose cut off. That happened. Then the fingers, and last of all, the hands of a very ancient, decrepit woman, then left her to languish and die in the deplorable condition without having so much as a hand to guide a morsel of food to her mouth. They also took many small children and tender infants and flung them down the precipice, as the bore-fed Captain Polo confessed to Monsieur Aguirre of Monsieur Grosse during the time of their imprisonment in Turin. Another woman, naked, had her head tied between her legs and was thrown down a precipice, fearful to behold. Another woman of Latour, by the name of Maria Raymondere, widow of the deceased Jacob Cognier, was found in a cave, and the flesh all basically skinned off of her bones. They skinned her alive, skinned her, and then took the flesh off of her bones. They chopped as small as herbs into the pot, so that her body appeared no other than a mere skeleton or anatomy. Another woman of Valerie, these are religious people now. Now you have to remember that Islam has done this all over the world. They're doing this right now. Islam is doing this right now. Catholicism would still be doing this if they could. Over there in the different places, you know that they're doing this to little children. They're cutting them in half. They're beheading them. They're raping little girls. Raping little boys. Took many small children, tender infants, and flung them down a precipice. Another woman of Latour named Magdalena, widow of Gavanaghe, being stripped naked, had her head tied between her legs and thrown down a precipice. Another lame woman of Tor named Maria, a widow of the deceased Jacob, was found in a cave, and they took and literally disboned her. They took all the flesh off her bones and chopped all herbs and pieces so that her body appeared no other than a skeleton anatomy. And another woman was named Magdalena, widow of the deceased Pierre Pilot, being exceedingly decrepit and blind with old age, was cut in pieces in a certain cave near Calavis. Anna, daughter of Giovanni Charbonnet. Anna, daughter of Giovanni of Latour, had a long stake thrust into her privates, and by some of the soldiers who in a barbarous way carried her upon their shoulders in a manner like an ensign, like a flag, till they had wearied themselves, each man in his turn, and then they stuck the other end down into the ground and left her hanging in the air upon stake's end, and a most formidable and horrible spectacle for all to behold who pass by. I'll show you this again. Hope I'm giving you enough time there on the camera to see the illustrations. Giovanni Andre Michelini of Latore, being taken prisoner, escaped miraculously after he had beheld with his eyes three of his children torn to pieces, limb and meal. And the fourth, there was not above 6 weeks old, stretched out of the arms of the mother, and swaddling clothes taken off and stripped naked, and then his brains were dashed out against rocks. They took the little children and they held their little legs apart and they just split them in half with a sword. These are little children now. Jacob Perrine, David and his brother of Valeri, Jacob, elder church in Valeri, and David, his brother, were taken prisoners in their beds. They slipped into the house in their beds while they were in bed in a certain village called La Redine, and carried from there to Lucerna. When they were clasped into the Marquis prison, where they were most barbarously and humanely used, and amongst other things, the bloody butchers of that place stripped off their skin of their arms and legs by long slices. They skinned them alive in the form of leather points till such time as they had left the flesh quite bare on all their bodies. I don't know if you've ever had anything like this. It didn't feel good. I've been skinned in places, large areas, and it hurts. Marilyn, you did the same thing with you. Got your whole arm and hand. They had like leather strips, and they had left the flesh quite bare. At length, they were miserably starved to death in the same prison where the carcasses were likewise stuffed in lye and petrified. In the valleys of Piedmont, Giovanni or John of Plechon of Laleri, a young man about 25 years of age, having been taken prisoner, made his escape and was afterwards retaken by the soldiers. Who tied one of his legs to the tail of a mule and so dragged him violently through the streets and corners of Lucerna, and because the poor man's wretch sometimes listed his head and hands through the great pain and anguish that suffered by the grating of his body against ragged stones and flints in the streets, that hard-hearted villains battered and bruised his body with stones and brickbats as he passed by, crying that he was possessed of the devil, that he was possessed of the devil, that poor persecuted Christian was possessed of the devil, which kept them from dying. He said, the only reason why you're not dying is the devil is possessed in you and he's making you immortal. After this, they cut off his private members and violently crammed them down the poor creature's mouth and down his throat to stop his breath. They strangled him with his own private members. At last they chopped his head off and dragged him into the river's bank, and there they left him unburied. This cruelty has been in many times verified by public with great regret. Even several of the Catholics that there, live there, as likewise many of the poor Protestants themselves, who were then prisoners and were made to look upon this doleful spectacle. Magdalena, daughter of Pietà Fontana, 70 years old, a beautiful and well-favored girl, about 10 years old, was taken by some of those lecherous brute beasts because of her age and stature was incapable of the ordinary course of nature. They raped her anyway. And they forced her body and they left her there to bleed to death, wallowing in her own blood. This, if you're a Baptist, ought to make you appreciate what you have today. Giovanni Talfane, a mercer of Valero, as he was passing by the hill of St. Juliana, saw a poor woman flying from the soldiers with a cradle upon her head, wherein a young sucking child, but seeing that she was like to be overtaken by them, left the cradle in the middle of the way. She left the cradle on the side of the road and kept off running, as verily believing that those butchers could not possibly have such hearts of admirer or hell as to lay violent hands upon a poor innocent little babe, and so hid herself not far from the place in the cleft of a rock. But those bloodhounds, having found the infant in the cradle, in a most savage manner took it out and pulled it in two pieces or quarters. They pulled it in two. Afterwards, finding the mother, they ravished her, they raped her. All of the soldiers raped her, took turns. Then cut her head off and left her body upon the snow. These are sometimes stories, aren't they? This is not fairy tale. This is the real deal. This really happened. These people gave their lives for what they believed. They believed what exactly I read in the beginning of this. That they believed in God as we as Baptists believe in God today. And yet, because they believed that way, they were murdered in such a ravenous way. If you're a Catholic, I hope you leave the Catholic Church because of this. I hope. Because you ought to. If you're Muslim, this is what you do all the time throughout the world. Every day this happens in the world. Every day. In the Muslim world, this happens every day. Little girls are sold as sex slaves. They're slaves. You know, slavery in the most of the world, except the Islamic world, is denounced as inhuman. But in Islam, and even in wherever they inhabit, they have slaves. There is no reason... no reason to kill somebody because of what they believe. No reason to kill somebody because of religious tenets. America today is a place where you have religious freedom because of the Baptist people that lived here and were persecuted at one time, and they would not rest their swords until they had religious freedom for everyone. The first colony in 1639 in America that where he had freedom of religion was founded by Dr. John Clark, Newport, Rhode Island. That set that democracy, and freedom of religion afire throughout the world from that little church right there. Our Father, we send this message out for your honor and glory. We remember these people that gave their lives for you and for us, our freedom today. Please forgive us where we fail you. Help us to honor the things that we have learned from your word and to know what we believe and why we believe it and to stand for it in this world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.